up. Oh, no, you did it again.
Yeah, had the volume on. Yeah, yeah. We're in the chats talking about nuts. So it's, we're going to do this review of this. First of all, fucking sick as a dog. My nose feels like I'm smelling like a rotten forest fire made out of plastic.
Yeah. Plastic fire.
Rotten forest fire. Got that nose infection. I wasn't coughing last night, though, so...
Yeah, I think you slept all night. I didn't cough all night, either.
Yeah.
I think I have the same thing, but I don't... The only thing that bothered me last night was I woke up a couple times and, like, my face was real hot. Like, I felt like I had a fever.
I had that a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, I was able to go on my walk this morning and everything like that without feeling too shitty.
Sweating bullets and a fucking cold sweat.
No.
I did that for a while.
No. It was weird. Like, the rest of me wasn't hot, just my face.
Yeah. Okay.
But, we have, like, this big bag of cough drops just off screen. And I had a bunch of cough drops.
Off-screen cough drop.
Well, off-screen cough drop. Yeah. And we had, like, little piles of them on each side of the, on the bed. But I didn't wake up coughing.
All right, we watched this movie last night. It was a fucking trip. What was it called? Wolf House?
The Wolf House.
The Wolf House.
They just added this on Shudder, although I think it might be from 2018, if I'm not mistaken.
It's a visual experience, man. Okay.
This is one of the weirdest things I've ever seen, and that's saying something.
It's a stop motion movie where the cameras. I guess it's in a live. It's in a full size house. I guess
it is. Yeah, I looked it up. It is a full. It's actually. I don't think it's a house. I think it's a museum that they let them use. This shit took 5 years to make. Which, if you watch it, I believe it.
The whole thing is taking place as paintings on the walls, moving, and the paintings are moving. And then things come out of the wall, 3D figures made out of, looks like masking tape, and they move, and their eyes blink, and it's narrated in Spanish and in German at certain times. This crazy-ass fucking tale about this chick who took two pigs and turned them into children, and over time they caught on fire, and then she had to heal them up, and then they wanted to eat her eventually. This shit was ridiculous. It was creepy as shit.
Yeah. I mean, this is, like I said, this is a very, very experimental film. It's more of a visual experience than anything else. It's, I guess it's kind of like a fable or like a fairy tale. Now, what I did find out, so the story is, it's weird because at the very beginning, I don't remember if you saw this because maybe you were in the bathroom or something, but at the very beginning, there's like a little, it almost kind of looks like one of those old like propaganda short films, you know what I mean? Like from the 50s or 60s or whatever. And it was a few minutes and there was somebody on there talking about this colony and, you know, we live by the land and they had like magical, I don't think they said magical honey, but they had, you know, all this organic honey, everything was awesome. And there were all these quote unquote rumors about them and blah, blah, blah. So that's kind of like the framing device. And then they're like, so we're presenting this film that we found, you know, and then they start showing the stop motion animation part. Now, this was Chilean. I think the two guys that made it, the animators, were Chilean. Now, this, it kind of has aspects of Little Red Riding Hood, but I'm like watching it. I'm like, this has to be referring to something particularly, especially because of, you know, the film at the beginning, because they were setting it up. And some of the things that they said in there, the fact that it's in Spanish and in German. And I was like, I gotta figure out what this has to be based on something, or they has to be based on something. And so what it ends up being based on is that, and I had actually never heard of this. Like, I knew like some general information about this, but I had never heard of this particular thing. The colony that they're talking about is actually called Dignity Colony.
Yeah, it's where
Yeah. And that's like, so Joseph Mengele was there. Well, that's what Wikipedia said.
Yeah, not true.
So the guy that is quote unquote the wolf in this, because you hear his voice sometimes, like speaking German, that's supposed to be based on, I think the guy's name is, Paul Schaefer. Something like that. Yeah.
He was the one that was doing those weird experiments on kids.
Yeah, so there was like all kind
of... We need to do a show on this shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Growing up in Brazil, there's a place a lot like this. People don't realize that South America, real South America, the south of Brazil, Uruguay, Paraguay, Chile, and Argentina are very Germanic. And there's also a lot of Irish immigration going on there. I go there, I fit right in. All right. A lot of people just thought I was Brazilian. You're going to have a bunch of Irish last names, and they've been going there since the 20s. You know, this wasn't just the reason why the Nazis ran there after the war is because there was German and European immigration into South America going all the way back 1700s even. You know, yeah. So you can go there and blend in. But Paul Schaefer was a fucking freak. We got to talk about that. Even though Schaefer, I thought, was in Argentina. No? Was that Chile?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was. Yeah, he fled to Chile. And then he was the founder of Dignity Colony.
Yeah. Comunidad Dignidad, I think is what it was called in Spanish. I forgot. But yeah, weird
That was
place.
In the 60s, like early 60s. Yeah, and he was doing there like all the... He was a child molester. You know, and he like fled from Germany.
It was a weird German Christian community that was like a cult that had elements of kind of ex-Nazis in it. He was doing weird hormonal experiments on their children to keep them from going into puberty, to somehow prevent them from having to deal with original sin or something. South American governments found out about this and instead of stopping him, hired him as a fucking, kind of like a secret torture camp to help them disappear certain political enemies that regimes had.
Yeah.
So this goes back to some of these other things that we told you in other shows. A lot of times these cults don't get dissolved. They get absorbed by intelligence agencies because they use them. They're like, oh, okay, we can send you for prison for what you're doing here. But if you help us, we'll fucking protect you. Here, torture these people for us and tell us what you find. They do that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And that way, it's all deniable. It's fucking Child Island shit.
But yeah, that's what... So that's basically what the background of this movie is. Although, I guess if you didn't know a lot about that...
Yeah, it's kind of making sense now.
You wouldn't really...
Yeah.
You know, you can just watch it for the artistry. And as I said, it's a little bit like a fairy tale in the sense, I mean, because the story of it is there's a girl named Maria. There once was a girl named Maria. And she flees from this colony and she runs out because she gets in trouble because she stole some pigs or she wasn't working or something like that. I can't remember what it was. And she flees into the woods and she finds this house, the wolf house, and she goes in there and stays in there. Now she has, there's a couple of pigs in this house and over time she starts turning them into humans. Like they slowly start turning into humans and she makes them clothes and then she gives them some of this magical honey from the colony and it like gives them blonde hair and all this other kind of stuff. So I kind of feel
it
like
make more sense now. You're telling
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I meant. I was like, because I'm watching it, and I was like, I know that there has to be, and I kind of got. I was like, this has to have something to do with the Nazis that fled to South America.
Now
I got that, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah. Like, now you're saying I didn't realize that I didn't have it in a South American context.
Yeah.
I thought it was something from Spain.
Mm-mm.
But I think I've told you another show. I think I told the audience in other shows when I was growing up in Brazil and fucking at Escola do Graduado de São Paulo, some of the Americans, I say that in quotes, some of the Americans that were there came out of those communities that we're talking about. But that's not just dignity community. There's ones in Brazil. There's a state in Brazil, there's a place in Brazil called Gramado, and Gramado is German, all right? And a lot of them went there, and some of these people that were wanted could kind of like erase their identities and then give their children's new identities, like Brazilian identities, Uruguayan identities, Paraguayan, Chilean, and then eventually they would morph into American identities. Remember I told you used to go to the favela with a dude and fucking would see real Nazis in the favela selling weed?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he was an American, but you could trace it back to part of that regime that ran back, you know, or that ran away. But then it came to the United States now, and all that had to do with Operation Paperclip too. The U.S. was also involved. Not only did they launder money and shit, they were laundering people. It's amazing, man. The world is a lot more complicated than you think it is. But
that's always the case.
Yeah, but you were talking about what's his name? Fucking Mengele. All right. During the time that I was there as a kid, my mother was secretary of the Consul General of Brazil. All right, my mother's State Department. She's State Department. She's also ex-DEA. And there have been some requests that for me to have her on a show recently. I'll get into that maybe like on a Wednesday. That's kind of a fucking difficult subject. And I'm an only child, and both my parents have been diagnosed with cancer, and you know, I got a lot of responsibility to take care of people. You know, I'll get into that on another show. Anyway, it would be good to have her talk about when she saw the poltergeist with us, and maybe some of the weird shit that she saw in South America. But anyway, what's his name? Mengele. She was on duty when they found Mengele's body.
Yeah.
Yeah. He died at Ubatuba Beach in Brazil. So I think it was in the 70s, actually. But he had been buried, and then they found his body later, and they tried to trace where he came from, and I think he was in Brazil the whole time. So this thing about him coming through Dignity Community, I doubt it. I think he stayed in Brazil. And here's another weird thing that a lot of people don't know. Mengele got married in Brazil, and he married a black woman. Okay, so all this fucking master race shit, that was all kind of like, they didn't really believe in that shit. They just did what they were told to do. He married a black woman after that. And I think he has kids, but I wasn't told anything about him. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't have the security clearances. I was just a dependent. I was hearing about all that happening.
Yeah.
But my mother saw his skull.
Yeah.
Because they had fragments of his skull, and they were trying to figure it out. You know, other people, you know, were looking at it. Israel was and stuff was involved. They wanted the body. Brazil was involved in it too. It was a weird time. Yeah. Anyway, I'm going down another path. Anyway, the whole fucking Western Europeans in deep parts of the South America. If you go down south enough, it becomes another honky motherland.
Yeah.
Basically.
Scott says, isn't Paul Schaefer the dude who played keyboards for Letterman?
Yeah, he did.
He was.
Yeah.
Although the Schaefer we're talking about, it's his last name only has one F, and it has an umlaut.
Paul Schaefer.
That's what I was thinking, too. I was like, wait, his name's Paul Schaefer? I forgot.
Nah, he was a creepy old dude.
Yeah.
Nazi-like kind of guy. He wasn't a Nazi, though, I don't think. It's just he was working with runaway Nazis.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, he left Germany because of child molestation charges. And he fled to Chile.
He ended up giving safe harbor to people that were running from the regime or running from, you know what I mean, what you call Nazi hunters and stuff. He was, and South American governments, it wasn't just one, it was a bunch of them, were protecting them. They were valuable to them. They had their own versions of Operation Paperclip.
But yeah, I think that the wolf character in this, that's presumably who Paul Schaefer is, presumably who the wolf character is based on. And the colony that they're talking about is this colony that was in Chile. So like I said, I was watching it and I said that this has to have something to do with like the escaped Nazis that went to South America, but that was what I got from it. But I didn't know all the exact details, so now it makes a lot more sense. Now, like I said, if you don't know any of that, you can still watch it as just like an artistic and a visual experience because it is amazing, and a lot of the imagery is really, really creepy. It's really kind of like another thing that's really creepy about it too is the sound design.
Yeah.
Because I like the way they left in, I don't know if they added this later or whatever. I mean, I'm probably sure they did, but like when the figures are forming themselves, and like I said, it's largely, I don't know, it looks like some of it looks like tape and some like masking tape of different colors, and some of it looks like some other things like paper mache or something like that, like when it's forming itself, it makes like this kind of like noise in the background, and it's like really, really creepy. Yeah. And then kind of the voices are kind of creepy, because like the Maria voice, like the voiceover, she's always talking like really quietly. And then you have like the guy that's the wolf's voice is always kind of like creepy and everything. But yeah, so she has these pigs and she turns them into essentially children. And then as it goes on, like I said, she gives them this honey and it gives them blonde hair and blue eyes. And then as it goes on, she decides that we're running out of food in the house. And so I have to go out and get some. And then the kids are like, no, you can't, because the wolf is out there and he'll get you. We have plenty of food here. You can stay here. And then it turns out the kids want to eat her. So then she's trying to call the wolf to come and eat the kids before they can eat her. So you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like I said, it's very much in the vein of if this colony, which like I said, a fictionalized version of Dignity Colony, had made a really weird David Lynchian stop motion animation propaganda film.
Yeah.
This would have been what it was like. Yeah. You know what I mean? It reminded me a lot of, if you guys remember, like, I guess from the 90s, I guess it was. What was that show that was on MTV? Liquid Television. And it had like all different shorts of like different animation styles and stuff. It reminded me of something you would see on there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we could not believe, like, the whole time. Now, this is almost a feature-length movie. It's 73 minutes. So it's, you know, it is a time commitment for something that is this experimental. Okay.
Yeah,
not going to lie.
For me, after about 30 minutes, I had enough. It should have been a lot slow. It should have been a lot faster and shorter. I thought it took too long.
Yeah, it probably could have been a short film.
It's like the visual impact of it started to wear off on me, and I couldn't really follow what the story was trying to tell me.
Yeah.
So it started to become kind of tedious. That's just saying. Yeah, that's. I liked it though.
Yeah.
I'd have to see it again probably. You know, if I had time.
I was sitting there the whole time. I was thinking,
what the fuck is this about?
What would this be like on acid?
Yeah.
And because I was telling him, I was like, this is probably one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. Yeah. But like I said, we were watching it. A lot of the time we were watching it, we were trying to figure out how they did it. Like, is this a dollhouse or is it like a full size? And I was like, it's got to be full size, because I'm like, look, they have like all the furniture and there's clocks. And I felt like it would be a real pain to try and get miniature everything. You know what I mean? But then when I found out and I was doing the research for it later, at least as far as I can determine, because I was watching these four guys who, I don't know where it was, but they owned some indie theaters and stuff. And I guess they had shown this like when it first came out, and they were talking about it, and they said that it was a full size. It was like a house, or it was a museum that they let the guys use. It's two guys. And they let them use it for like over a 5-year period. And I'm like, they didn't do it all at once, obviously, because like I said, if you see it, you'll understand that this must have taken just forever, because there's just always something moving, you know? It's just really cool the way, like, it'll go into a room and then, like, the room, like, paints itself, like, all around the side, and then, like, a painting will paint itself on the wall and it'll become like 3D, and it's like
something,
and it's all done like, yeah, and then like Maria is like painted on the wall, and then she comes out like 3D, and then she's like made out of tape and all this other stuff. And it's just like this really, really creepy, I guess because it's handmade.
Yeah.
And it just looks really unsettling.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's just, it's not polished. It's not
real crude looking.
It's crude looking, but it's that's what makes it cool. That's what makes it like really, really creepy looking. And like I said, I think that the sound design makes it real creepy too, because all that like skittering kind of noise in the background, like with all the tape and everything. But yeah, if you're into like experimental stuff or stop motion, like check it out. It does go, you know, it's long, but You know, if you know the background of it, that it's about Dignity Colony and stuff like that, you might, like, get more out of it, I guess.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a show about some of that weird South American Nazi stuff.
Yeah, we should actually. You know what? I'm going to write it down right now.
Because Juan Perón was involved in all that kind of stuff. That's how they ended up getting jet technology. All kinds of weird stuff happened over the decades.
Yeah.
Another weird thing is that after the American Civil War, or the first one, General Lee and a lot of his staff officers and a lot of the guys at the top of the Confederacy ran to Brazil. And there's a town in Brazil that's kind of like a historical district. It's protected. They're like, they protect them in the way we would like protect Native Americans or something. And it's these descendants of Confederates are there. And they speak English. With real strong fucking accent, southern accents and everything. And it's like pre-war South, you know. And one of General Lee's descendants, I think she's a great-granddaughter, is named Rita Lee, who's a famous Brazilian singer. But okay. If you look up Brazilian singer Rita Lee, that is one of General Lee's descendants, direct descendants.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so there are a lot of the Confederates, and I think old what's-his-name was there too. The president
old
of the...
what's-his-name?
Yeah, the guy who was the president of the Confederacy, what was his name? Oh, shit, on the tip of my tongue.
Jefferson
Davis.
There you go.
Jefferson Davis went there too. Either that or he died right before he left or something like that. I'd have to go back in there.
Yeah.
But South America's a trip. It's a trip. And interesting.
Yeah.
But the German town in Brazil called Gramado, I went there. And it was like going to Germany. And when I spoke English, they fucking snarled at me. Yeah, they asked me if I was German, and I said, no, I'm American. They went, snarled in German at me, old lady did. And turned her back on me and walked off.
Well.
Yeah. She's like, fuck you, get out of here. Straight up fucking German National Socialists from the war. And, you know, she was the right age and everything at that time. That was back in the 80s.
Cranky.
But they had a little damn gingerbread looking houses and shit everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now, I'm glad that I looked some of this shit up, because I was so intrigued by the movie that I was kind of like, that I knew it had to be based on something like that or based on something specific. And I think that now that I looked all that stuff up, I have, like, even a greater appreciation for the movie, because I can see where they're coming from. They essentially made a fairy tale out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, out of this colony that was there that was kind of like you said, it was kind of like a cult where they all kind of stayed. And so the main character, she has escaped from this cult for a little while. But then I guess the point of it was that she ran away for a little while, but then, like, she went back into... She asked, like, the dude that was running it, like, to come save her or whatever.
Graham's funny because I said, I'll never forget old what's-his-name.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was
thinking. How do I come up with this shit? I never forget old what's-his-name.
I know, right?
Man, we could be rich off all these damn t-shirts.
Right, if only I had time to make them all.
Can't make them all, yeah. Never forget old what's-his-name.
For some reason.
Like country witticisms.
Yeah. For some reason, that just reminded me. I don't know if you guys have seen Rock and Rule, that Canadian post-apocalyptic animated film, which is actually, I really, really love that movie. I still want to review it one of these days. But I think there was one point where Mach was like, oh, my dear, what's her face? And that's kind of what it reminded me of just then. Hey, I
can picture it in my mind. I just can't remember the name. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, I was sitting there I was like, it starts with a J, it starts with a J, it starts with a J, and then, like, you came up with it.
Yeah. Oh, Jefferson.
Well, gosh, man, we've already been on for 33
okay,
minutes.
Okay, well, you know, let me throw another fucking aspect at you.
All okay, right. He's going to throw an aspect at me.
In Mountain Poltergeist, when I had the fucking out-of-body experience, the dude that I was in the barracks with, who threatened to beat my ass because he saw the fucking OBE happen.
Uh-huh.
Said, don't ever tell anybody about that shit. His name was Jeff Davis.
Really?
He was named after Jefferson Davis.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Jefferson Davis. His dad named him Jefferson Davis. Yeah. He's from Georgia.
Yeah.
I think it was Georgia. No, North Carolina. No, it was North or South Carolina. One of the two.
One of them Carolinas.
One of them Carolinas. That's where he's from.
Victor says, where is this movie streaming? Which one? Rock and Rule or this one I'm talking about? The Wolf House is on Shudder.
Yeah.
Rock and Rule, I don't know where that one is. I feel like I had it, I saw it on cable a lot back in the 80s and I taped it. So I had a, you know, old VHS of it. But lately, I don't know. It seems it fell into obscurity, which is kind of a shame.
Yeah.
Because it had a fucking kick-ass soundtrack, man.
There were a lot of good animated ones that fell into obscurity.
Iggy Pop was on, Lou Reed and Blondie and Cheap Trick and stuff.
That weird French one about the damn aliens that were keeping humans as pets.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
What was that weird one with the cats? Felidae?
Felidae.
That was German. That was German. Really weird that one. Was German.
Yeah. I think it was called Fantastic World was the French one I was thinking of.
Oh, I don't think
of.
I've ever seen that one.
Fucking really weird. There was another one that was kind of like, it was kind of like a Dungeons and Dragons animated movie about fucking, it's in the 70s, about, you know, wizards and fucking gigantic spiders and shit.
It wasn't like Lord of the Rings?
No, it wasn't Lord of the Rings. It was another one. I think it was British.
Oh, okay.
Well, Lord of the Rings is British, but it was, I don't know. It's been a long time. I remember seeing posters of it when I was a kid.
There was so much like sword and sorcery type stuff like back in the day.
Yeah, they were smoking so much weed, taking mushrooms and shit back in the 70s.
You know. But I remember, like,
yeah,
Ralph back...
Pat says Fantastic Planet.
Yeah,
that was a weird... I saw it as a kid and I was like, what
I don't think I've seen that one.
Yeah.
I may well have.
Yeah.
I think I was talking the other day about that weird-ass Jack and the Beanstalk cartoon.
Yeah.
That I didn't realize was Japanese because it had been dubbed into English. When I saw it when I was like 11 or 12 years old, and I loved it. And it was like, it's so weird, like with the little mechanical witch and everything, but I didn't realize that it was Japanese because I didn't know what fucking anime was back then.
I'm going to have to get off the stream, man. My nose is killing me.
Oh, his nose is killing me.
I'm tired.
Okay.
Let's go.
All right. So we will be back tomorrow talking about another new movie. Hopefully Tom will feel better.
No, I'll probably feel worse.
Oh, it's all going to get worse.
Yeah.
That's the spirit.
Yeah.
All right. So, oh, shit. All right. So, good save. Good save. He almost knocked his coffee cup over.
Yeah.
All right. We will see you guys tomorrow. We'll talk about another movie. Thanks, everybody, for dropping by. Bye.